Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Evan Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Ryan Pills,
and Jonah Dew.
In the house. Welcome back, Delps. It's been a little while since you guys were here.
2 weeks.
Wow.
It seemed like longer.
Forever. You missed
we
us,
carried
I'm
it.
Sure.
We did. Carried it.
We did. It was lots of fun. Had a great time.
I was just currently listening to the last one, just to hear what you guys were talking about, Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah?
I was listening to Ryan's 10 points.
Mm, very nice.
But I didn't get through it all. So
you fell asleep after like 0.5, is it?
No, because I was literally listening to it on the way here.
Ah, perfect. How many points do we got tonight for the after show, Ryan?
I only have 1 point.
1 point. Love it.
What?
We'll talk about it because it's got really good
information. Oh, man, no doubt.
My point is that Jonah should watch The Mandalorian.
That is.
I'm only a season behind.
Hey, catch it up, all right.
You're in season two?
No. I'm one. If you guys are on like season two, episode four?
Right.
Oh, I'm a season and an episode behind. Oh, no.
Or six or seven.
Season and two episodes.
Is it over? There's more to come, right?
There's 8 episodes.
Okay. That wasn't like the cliffhanger ending.
Right. All right, we need to stop talking about Mandalorian.
Tune in after the show where we'll recap all of our in-depth thoughts on The Mandalorian. Right now, though, we're talking about a bunch of board games. We all just got back from some wonderful Thanksgiving feasts with friends and family, and I know that at least in my case, and I'm guessing in all cases, many board games were played.
Right. We just were with family, just in case people are wondering.
And friends, not both.
No, we didn't have any friends with
no
Thanksgiving.
No friends.
We were trying to keep it small.
That's right. For our Thanksgiving, my folks came down and we got to hang out with just the parents, and we played a good number of games, especially since my parents are not gamers in any way. They like suffer with me. I don't know. They tolerate they indulge me. But we played a number of games that I didn't anticipate them playing. My mom actually played Everdell with us, which was pretty cool.
I was shocked, and she actually did very well.
She
in
did.
The game.
She grasped things well. Liam played it as well. Our Thanksgiving tradition is to play a bigger game that the kids have never played with us. So that was the one on the table this year. And it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. I usually have an issue with the game in that you have to get the right combos of cards to do well. And you have to get them in the right order to try and unlock the creatures before the construction pieces.
Right. Get the combinations of the two.
Get them in the right order. But I did that this time. This is one of the first times, I think, besides the very first time I played, that I actually got things in the order that I wanted to receive them, and I did well.
Liam told me that he was, so you can check this out. Liam just shot his fourth annual top 10 games that you could get your kids for Christmas video this week.
That's a really good title because I really feel that title needs to be
shorter
somehow so that people
so
don't get so confused, but I think it's a great
concept. Right. What do you call it?
We can think about that more.
Yeah. So he did, had a great time putting that video together, and we played Everdell. We only got to play it once, so it probably wasn't worthy of making his list. But I asked him, what do you think? Do you think this would be a list contender? And his response was, yeah, definitely it could be, but this game is too advanced for the list that I'm putting together, which was interesting. So I think it might be time for him to up his game and do, like, I don't even know what
well,
list.
He'll be a teenager next year.
He
right?
will.
So
top 10
be
games
like
to get your teens.
Pre-teens. Yeah. I think that's what we're moving to.
Time to move in.
And then maybe Lincoln can make video with his top 10 kid games.
Ooh. If Lincoln's up for it, he's really good on camera. I mean, Liam's really good, too,
right.
because he's been doing it longer.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
Lincoln
is well-spoken.
People mention Lincoln when he's on camera.
He's got the big, goofy smile like his dad and is ready to be all energetic. So that was fun. We got to play that one as well as several other ones. What did you guys do for Thanksgiving gaming?
We played a lot of The Crew. So that came out with my brother and sister-in-law, and we didn't do all 50 because we skipped a few, but pretty much went through the whole thing and really enjoyed that.
And we did some of the DLC, the downloadable content, too.
Ooh. So
some of the, it's not print and play, because all you do is look at the PDF online because of different,
goals, though, is basically what it
is. So we, did we do all the extra goals?
We did most of them.
Okay, cool. So highly recommend the crew.
Yeah, I had a friend asking me about the crew, because I guess there was a Black Friday deal at Barnes & Noble for the crew and Haven. And I hadn't played Haven. It's a Ryan Lockhart game, so I couldn't tell him about that. Just, I like Red Raven games, so I was like, it's probably really good. But I could tell him about the crew, because we played it on Halloween. Thank you for bringing it into my life. So I was able to share some pointers there. So it's, it's a good game.
Yeah, I think your crew might be a contender for a Tantrum House Award. We'll see. We'll see what people vote. But
will we have a Tantrum House Awards survey ready by Monday when this goes live?
Sure.
Sure. So each year we put together the Tantrum House Awards. We've done it for a couple years now, and we poll you guys, everybody that we can get a hold of, to nominate games for our couple different categories for the games of the year and Kickstarter of the year and best art and things like that. And then we take all the votes in. We see what numbers we get. If there's any tiebreakers or whatever, I don't know, we might do some curating and things, but it's basically an audience choice type of award, and then we try to present those awards to the actual game designers or publishers or whoever we can get a hold of, and then we put together a big video each year. So we're going to be doing that again this year, and we'll have that survey out. You can go check it out probably at tantrumhouse.com/survey.
Yeah, so the first one will be a nomination survey. So they you nominate the games, and then probably late December, early January, we'll pull those nominations together, and we'll do another survey for you to actually vote on those top nominations.
Two-tier system. So yeah, check that out. And then that show will be part of our TantrumCon digital event this year. So you can tune in and get all kinds of great content, as well as see who those award winners are.
February 5th through the 7th.
That's right. And we'll have a bunch of giveaways and things, I'm sure, as part of that. So that'll be fun. That'll be really fun. Ryan, I'm curious. Did your traditional Thanksgiving game make it to the table, even though it just did 2 weeks ago?
Actually, my family are losers.
No!
I was like, you guys told me to bring over a bunch of games, and then you all took naps. And I just played with
that
Katie.
Is not acceptable.
I'm like, what in the world? What?
Nope.
If I wanted to play a game with just Katie, I could do it at my own house better.
Every day.
But yeah, it was good. We played Tyler Sigmund's Crows. It was pretty fun.
Okay.
And then Monica had lent us Role Player because we were talking about
you never
Role
it.
Player Adventures for TantrumCon, and I'd never played Role Player. I was so looking forward to it. So I busted it out, started unpacking everything. It was apparently new in the wrapping.
Oh, cool.
Well, the game itself wasn't, but all the pieces were, so they all had to be punched out and everything. And the more I got into it, the more I was like, you know what? This is an expansion.
What?
Oh, no.
It was the Fiends and Familiars?
Fiends and Familiars expansion.
It wasn't the actual game?
No, it didn't have the actual game at all.
On the box, does it say need actual
No,
box?
It was the actual role player box, but it was the Fiends and Familiars and like another mini expansion inside it. I was heartbroken. It was, yeah.
We're not laughing. We're not laughing at
that
you.
That is a painful laugh. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It was sad.
So close.
Jonah, what about you? You usually do some good gaming with family?
We did some good gaming, so no naps in my family.
Did you guys even sleep? I don't think you slept.
I barely slept. Really? It was a long weekend for me. But anyway, we had a small gathering with just family. Actually, one person wasn't family, but then by the end of the weekend, they were
what?
Family. My little sister got engaged over the weekend, so that was fun.
Congratulations!
But before that was happening, I was beating her in all games. I didn't win everything, but we did keep score, and I did end up winning the weekend.
Congratulations. Overall.
Thank you. It was tough, actually. It was really funny for us. So my family's game, if you've heard me talk about it, is Catan. We got to play that. So we were playing, and when we were coming up, it plays six people. So there's six kids in the family. And then with like mom and dad, that's eight. So I can't all play. So like the two littlest
team
sisters,
up?
we used to just kick them out. You can't play, but they're old now. So they wanted to play and we were getting beat by my littlest sister was beating us. And we were like, what? You haven't even We didn't even let you play. Like, we didn't even used to let you play. Like, how are you winning? But anyway, we played lots of Catan.
They're like the chess person that just watches.
Uh-huh. And then comes and beat you.
That's what it is.
We played lots of Catan. Lots of Catan.
Did
but
you play the 25th anniversary edition?
Sure did. And it came with helpers, which I hadn't played with before. They're like these cards that just give you a special ability, like on your turn. You can use them twice and then turn them in for a new one.
Star Trek Catan has those.
Introduced it, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay, but we played with the helpers, and the game, it makes the game go way faster.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So we did, but we did play the 25th anniversary edition
of
Catan.
And you guys are going to work on a video soon for that.
We sure are. So it's going to be fun.
Check that out on our channel, the 25th anniversary edition.
But I think the winner of the weekend was we got the Wingspan expansion, Oceana, to the table.
Expansion or Eggspansion?
Wingspansion.
Okay.
Yeah. we got the Oceana expansion to the table, which I liked a lot. I really thought, of course, so many people love Wingspan, and I do too, but I really thought the expansion made the game better, made it less stressful, honestly, which made it more fun if it's not as stressful. You went through lots more birds. You got a lot more. It's like you could do more. Felt like you could do so much more.
It felt freer, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think that was the winner of the weekend. And we played that a bunch of times, played the regular one a bunch of times, and then played the expansion a bunch of times. And it was fun. We did all sorts of stuff.
Perfect. One other game that I did get to play. Usually Kevin and Melissa talk about the exit games.
Yep.
I think they already did definitely play this one, so I'm curious to find out what their take was on it. We got the family to play The Enchanted Forest with us, which is a more on the novice side, 2-dot level.
2 out of 5.
Yeah, I feel like that was underrated. It was tough. We struggled.
You're not going to be good at any more dots.
There was one
then.
Or two puzzles that we used hints on. But I was like, there's no way we would have thought to do this.
I would say, I don't think we used any hints except for the last puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last puzzle is ridiculous.
It's more, I think I said on one of our other shows, it was more creative than logical.
There we go. It's a good description.
So I mean, honestly, until the last puzzle, did you feel like it was
reasonable, yeah.
It was reasonable.
So the Enchanted Forest, you are basically hopping through a bunch of fairy tales, which is kind of cool. So you show up at the Seven Dwarves and Snow Whites, and like there's a puzzle you got to figure out with all of them, which I don't think we figured out. That was another one that we definitely had to use a hint on.
I got that one. Kevin was, I think, making dinner or something. And I was like, you do this and this and this and this and ha-ha!
There was like two puzzles, which we got the first one. And the second one, I'll just tell you, I'll give you a small hint. I'm ruining it for you. Spoiler.
Okay.
Is basically like, what's the difference between the dwarves or whatever, which we knew that's what we were looking
for. The
pictures
on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember this.
Whew, could not tell for the life of us. Like, this one has a blue hat, this one has a green shirt, this one has a whatever.
But we just didn't, yes, we didn't know what to do with the information.
I got you. And that is sometimes
forever.
Yeah.
I was lucky on that one because I noticed the thing that they wanted you to notice right away. I was like, oh, this and this. Oh, okay. I know what I'm doing here.
It had to do with heights or something, right? Or something.
No.
Oh, okay.
You did all spoilers. Kevin did not participate in that puzzle at all. I did that whole page.
Good job. Good job. The one thing I do like about the easier exits, the easier ones, the novice ones, are you have all the information. You know you have all the information.
Because it's going one page at a time.
Yeah, right. Because you are going puzzle by puzzle. A lot of the harder ones, you could have...
incorporate something from
you
earlier.
You could have all this other information. You're like, I'm not really sure if that goes to this puzzle or not.
That's true.
And that sometimes will make it harder.
That was
makes
nice.
It harder.
Yeah. And I will say that's the newer novice ones. The original ones were...
Maybe not
didn't
that case.
Take you page by page.
Right. Yes, but the roller coaster one does that. The airplane one does that. Now the Enchanted Forest one.
Yeah, the linear progression was nice, especially because... It took us an hour, of course, to get through it. And as we were getting near the end, I could tell, like, oh, no, I'm losing my dad. What's going on? And then I was like, oh, look, we only have, like, 2 pages left. Oh, okay, I'm still in. What are we figuring out? So being able to tell approximately where your progress was nice.
So let's talk about that last puzzle.
Okay.
We're just going to spoil it right now.
Oh, no.
No one will ever figure it out.
No,
so we might
figure this
as well.
Out. So if you really want to play the Enchanted Forest,
turn it off.
Stop listening for the next couple of minutes.
It was interesting. So I opened the box, and I did notice... Oh, the holder that the cards are in is kind of interestingly shaped thing. It's just, you know, half as illustrated as the forest, half as illustrated as the Green Meadow or whatever. Yeah. That's all I got.
I think if you may have played other exit games, you would have noticed that that was different.
I knew Kevin
had it out of the box before I even opened the booklet.
I knew it was part of the puzzle.
Right. And I lifted it out to see if there's anything secret hidden underneath.
Yeah,
and
we always do that.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the puzzle.
Yeah. So you get to the end.
We'll set it aside.
I mean, it was right beside us on the table. We would have still not changed anything.
So anyway, I'm taking the walkway or the bridge or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
The waterfall.
The bookmark. It looks like a bookmark.
Yeah, the lightfall or whatever. And I'm putting it on the thing. I'm like, okay, so it tells me.
Lying it flat.
Right.
And I'm like, bridge lying the two it areas. Up. Right. Like, I'm putting it like different side with like three-dimensional spaces. Not thinking.
Right.
There's no, you need to bend this thing in a certain way that it actually like fits,
and unless I just didn't look close enough, there was no hint. There was no like curvy lines or like dotted somethings. It was just, this is a log bookmark. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
And then you have to think three dimensionally because then you have to take the picture that's in the book and put it in the right spot.
Right.
Eh.
Oh goodness.
It was a level 2 game with a level 5 puzzle.
Right. Impossible ending. And then when you do finally read the hint, you're like, ah. Oh. And then you put together like, this looks cool. Never would have figured it out. If you played the game and figured it out, call us now. I want to give you a prize.
SARA@tantrummouse.com.
That's right. I will send you a prize.
All right. Well, let's jump from here to a shout out to our sponsor.
You know, many times with our sponsors, we need to call out our regular sponsors.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, we have Final Frontier Games, and we have Bezier Games, and Boardwalk, and
the Game Steward.
That's what I was going to mention. The Game Steward is a perfect time to get the game for your loved one or friend for Christmas. So let's highlight the Game Steward on today's episode.
So you can check out thegamesteward.com. They provide games that have previously been on Kickstarter. And if you go check out their website, they'll run specials on different games that have already been self-published by Kickstarter creators that you may not be able to get a hold of any other way unless you either A, back the Kickstarter, or B, buy it on the used market. But if you check out thegamesteward.com, you can get a hold of all kinds of really fantastic previously Kickstarted games that you're not going to find anywhere else. So check them out there. And right now, we'll jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about two games coming to Kickstarter the week of December 7th, 2020. Kevin, what are you looking at?
Well, Vindication from Orange Nebula. It has been around for a little while, for a few years. They're coming out with an expansion. If you're not familiar with Vindication, it is a 2-5 player game, takes about 45 minutes to 150 minutes. I played Vindication once, Melissa.
Yes, we played it once.
Melissa played it with me. And it's like a worker placement game. Is there some area control going
on? Yes, there was some sort of board that you were moving on to get to certain areas to be able to take certain actions.
You've only played it once? I love Vindication.
Tell us a little bit more about Vindication.
Okay, so there's definitely area control, but it's also tile placement. So you're going to like take tiles out of a bag as you discover them and put them down. You definitely have worker placement as well, because you can only kind of perform actions when you're close to those certain tiles. You have movement, and then you need to upgrade your movement.
I remember that.
Yep, and basically what you're trying to do is there's like all sorts of goals. You got personal goals and game goals. And you can vindicate
the game.
There's actually a stack of cards that'll tell you how to end the game.
That's
like you take 2 or 3 of them out to start the game. But every time a person passes a certain amount of points, like 20, 30, 40, you take a new card out of the stack, which tells you like the game end conditions. So the game can end like right away at 20 points, or you can make it all the way to 40 points before somebody does the game end condition. But I like Vindication because you have – I like the area control and worker placement aspect, because it's like going against another person or more people, and you can kind of control it and get there first and stuff like that. But at the same time, I like it because you're building your tableau of I think they call them – man, I can't remember the name, but like – it's like helpers to your guy, and you build them up and you can use them on your turns, and you basically can use as many as you have and things like that. So I like it because you're like building your own personal tableau while you're trying to still affect the board and and get as many points as possible. And I also like it because it doesn't actually take forever to play, because the game and conditions are like all different. You actually can play. I played in one night like four times before, because three of the games took 25 minutes. So it was like, oh, let's just keep going. Let's do a new one or something like that. So I'm interested in the expansion. What's it called?
It's called Chronicles.
Okay.
So it starts December 9th. It launches on Kickstarter December 9th. I believe, from what I'm reading, Chronicles is like a scenario or a campaign-based game. So, yeah. They love the experience of Unsettled, which is another one of their games' campaign. So I think they're taking that idea of a campaign to Vindication. So check out Chronicles December 9th from Orange Nebula. Sarah.
Also coming December 9th is Winter Queen from Crowd D Games. This is a 2 to 4 player shorter game. It's an abstract strategy game that plays in about 30 minutes, and it's a lighter game. It has a very beautiful board where you'll be placing crystals out, and you are you'll be gaining gold coins for where you place on the board. And this is coming December 9th. So check out Winter Queen. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the just the concept of this, Ganesha from...
Oh, yeah.
With the jewels and stuff like
yes.
that?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So kind of reminded me of that. It had some similarities to it.
Cool.
That is coming.
Oh, I did see some pictures. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It has a really pretty board, beautiful box cover, and you're using crystals to put out in making magical ornaments. Now, you're in Ganesha, it's just... filling a mandala with...
We found Ganesha. It's on your shelf right behind you.
There we go.
Who is this one that you're talking about from?
This is Crowd D Games. Is this also Crowd
I
D
think
Games?
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same yes. company. Same company. Okay, so that makes sense.
They took some
sense.
Of that idea and put it into this new theme.
Yes.
Cool.
So
Ganesha was fun, except I couldn't pronounce a lot of the things that they had names in the game. But it was a fun game to play.
So interesting.
Yeah.
We just got finished talking about Exit, specifically the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah.
And I looked up to make sure I had the right info for Winter Queen. And the first ad on BGG is Exit, the Enchanted Forest.
They're listening.
They're listening to you. I think yes. that's what's happening. We should mention, though, ISS Vanguard from Awakened Realms is also launching on their own sort of website, which is gamefound.com. I don't know the exact date, but I think it is soon in December. They said before the end of the year. My guess is they're going to try and get that launched sooner rather than later, because the quicker they get to Christmas, I think it's going to be too late. So
yeah, you probably don't want your campaign during Christmas.
Wow. So anyway, ISS Vanguard, Awakened Realms, always does a really great job with their campaign. So we'll see how well it does on GameFound. Check it out, gamefound.com, to learn more.
One of the other things that you guys can check out in the very near future, I don't think it's done yet, is our top 10 lists for the year. I think we're filming those this week, next week?
I was going to say, at some point, I want to talk about another game that we played that sort of dovetails into the top 10 list.
Ooh, maybe featured on there. Last year we did like a guys versus gals thing, and it was super fun, and we actually got a lot of requests to redo that, so that is our plan. We're also going to try to just shake up our format a little bit, which I'm excited about. Do you guys actually have your top 10 lists formulated?
Nope.
What is the shaking up format, Will?
Visuals, just some visuals. And Melissa's only allowed to do 10 games.
I already have.
How many?
The way I've structured my list, I have honorable mentions because I am not allowing myself to put any game that was on my Kickstarters for 2019 on my top 10.
Okay.
But if I hadn't made that, then those games would have been on my top 10.
Gotcha.
So I have at least three. One of them.
Three for each category
is
that 30?
Eldervale.
Oh yeah,
which Kevin and I recently played, and we'll talk about a little later.
Okay, cool. So we can talk about it right now. You guys got that one, the finished version,
the huge
legendary.
Is it bigger than I'm imagining? It's as big as I'm imagining, right?
I think it's as big as you're imagining.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Now we did get to play prototype of it.
It's very big,
right? Is it? Thank you very much. I think. Why is everyone laughing? Stop laughing.
Got it.
Tell us about it. Now, one of the things that I thought was exciting in the prototype, and I don't know if this made it to the final piece, was that the minis in the game came with sound effects. Tell me it made it into the final version.
Oh, it did.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're bases that you can actually place miniatures on, and they have like 9 or 10 different bases that have different sound effects, and every base has 2 different sounds that come with it. So you can choose what kind of monster your sound will be.
Okay, very cool.
Yes, and that is the legendary, the most deluxe version. So some of the retail or lesser versions wouldn't come with that. But it was kind of funny because obviously when you move the monster around, it's going to go off and make the noise. But Occasionally someone would bump the table or hit the table.
And all of a sudden a monster would go, and you're like,
angry that you moved it.
Sorry.
Does it also growl? Do they all growl at you when you put the box away?
No, because they have off switches. Oh, okay.
Like, pull us back out. Don't put us on the table.
Yeah. I know we all enjoyed playing it, and it was just as enjoyable when I played it again the other day.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. So we've got TantrumCon Digital coming up. You got to check that out, tantrumcon.com.
I was going to mention those top 10 videos.
We've got top 10 videos coming out,
So Melissa and I have our top 10 Kickstarters. Are you guys going to do your top 10 Kickstarters?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
This is going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a long week. We got a lot of shooting to do.
Yeah. It's going to be a very tough top 10.
Liam's is already done.
I think I have my top 10 games of 2020.
Good. Because you guys are recording that Tuesday.
Much more than the Kickstarters.
Okay.
There's a lot of contenders for Kickstarters.
On our trip, Melissa and I were discussing all the published games, all the Kickstarter games. So I think we're pretty close on those. And I also did something different. I did a video that will be live this week of revisiting my top 10 most anticipated board games.
Ah, okay. I remember the anticipated one.
So
you've recategorized them, changed them?
I re-ranked them. And I said whether I liked it or didn't like it. So I tried to be as honest and brutal, which it's hard for me to do.
Right.
But there were some games that went super low and ones that went pretty high.
So I haven't gone back to watch your old one.
Mm-hmm.
Like 50%? Or like how, so would you, did you rank them in order of anticipation originally?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So did anything line up or was it like, oh, what's going on?
No. So there's a couple that stayed in their same spot.
Okay.
And then some went lower and some went higher.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah. And at least one didn't actually come out this year.
Oh.
Right. So that one was the lowest.
Yeah. There you go. That's a good spot for that one. It seems like. Excellent. Well, I'm excited to talk about Mandalorian.
Let's
so
do it.
Unless there's some other hot topic.
Oh, we do.
Well,
we do have a little Christmas
gift that came in the mail.
We do need to
just
mention this before we say goodbye.
Did you guys open the Christmas present before Christmas?
We did.
It was clear packaging.
Very early Christmas.
Excuse me.
It's perishable. No. It is perishable.
Okay, that is the rule, though. If it's perishable, you got to open it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not fruitcake, so.
Yes.
Although I don't know if that's actually perishable.
No, we got a little gift from Kids Table Board Games.
Aww.
And Burnt Island Games, thank you so much for your incredible support. You mean the world to us.
Yay!
So tell us what you see, Sarah.
So we got some dark chocolate with raspberries from Poland.
From Poland?
Yes.
It's Polish. Like that. Apparently Polish. Black raspberries in Poland are better.
Yes. We got some chocolate truffles.
Ooh, the box looks nice.
Box looks really good.
Open.
Looks
the, like raspberries, like, the raspberries is a flat box.
Right. They're flat
like
raspberries.
A lot of room in there.
It's chocolate. There's a thin
well, this one
chocolate.
Looks like you're speaking my love language.
Yes. The snowflake peppermint bark.
Ooh.
Will's obsessed with peppermint.
And I'm not going to say love language for anyone on this one. This is because I'm going to get in trouble whether it's a guy or a girl. This is Hammond's Pigs and Taters.
Also my love language. Is there bacon in it?
This is milk chocolate with bacon flavored
oh, it is
bits
bacon.
And potato chips.
Oh, potato chips.
I think we got to try
yeah,
this
let's
one.
Go ahead and just staple that right now.
One. So everyone.
Bacon and potato interested. Chip chocolate.
If you're interested in a blast of nostalgia, you need to go check out. I think this is the first review Xander ever did was a kids table board game.
Yes.
They did the game Problem Picnic way back in the day. Way back
I mean,
in the day.
Xander
in
was like
time.
2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years, I don't know. He was 4, maybe.
He's pretty stinking adorable. And that's where our relationship with Kids Table Gaming first came into. I'm going to crack the chocolate right here.
Is there enough for everyone?
There is. Exactly. Whew,
just
enough.
I don't
enough.
Know if I want that
Have
much.
We already sampled this? Is it in our mouths? Are we chewing and talking? Mm-hmm. What's the bacon to potato chip ratio?
I would say interested. I definitely taste saltiness to it, okay. Which might be the potato chips and bacon. I guess has some salt to it. I don't think there's any savoriness.
Well,
to
I'm
it.
Getting the bacon.
No, I got bacon immediately.
Yeah. Did you? I got an end piece then.
The honestly, the potato. I'm not getting the potato chip taste and flavor.
You're getting the crunchiness,
but you get the crunch in it, which makes me feel like it's the Crackle bars that have the Rice Krispies
or Kit Kat.
This is a win, though. This is not weird at all. This is actually just straight up delicious.
No, it's weird. No, it's bacon not. And potato it's chips, like, but it is good.
I like it.
Chocolate, like a chocolate bar with these things.
I like mixing sweet and salty together, and this definitely mixes that together.
I'm a fan. This is the win.
Yeah, thank you, good. Kids Table Board Gaming, but, and. Yes.
And Merry Christmas. All not yet.
And that was
Merry
Hammond's
Christmas
Pigs and Taters.
All right.
Roll it out. Hang around if you want to hear some Mandalorian talk. Here we go. See you guys. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
Are we talking about episode 5? Well, Jonah, are you leaving for a second?
No, I'm here.
He's hanging around. He's ready for the spoilers.
You know there's like super big spoilers in this episode, right?
No.
This is the one.
How was I supposed to know that? I didn't watch it.
Did you read or watch The Clone Wars? Because if not, it doesn't really matter.
Did I read The Clone Wars? No.
No?
Or did I watch The Clone Wars?
Or
also
Star
no.
Wars Rebels?
Also no.
Okay. So these they characters reveal Yoda, Baby Yoda's name.
In this episode.
In this
it's
episode.
Not what? Baby Yoda.
No.
I'm so lost.
It's every actually time named I talk after to you one guys, of our friends.
I'm lost. Jonah?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, that would be great. I'd watch it immediately.
So I don't know what Brian's one point is, but was your one point, why doesn't his name start with the letter Y?
No, it starts with the letter G.
I could nitpick this episode. My main point was just like, this is what I was waiting for.
It was, I agree.
That's your point? This is
That's
what you've
my
been...
point.
Yeah. You've been satisfied.
What? So, okay, so you explain... Since we're here, what is so? If his name's not Yoda, what is Yoda then?
Yoda's like some other alien in the same species. In this species, we're only aware of two
Yodas
and Yada.
Yaddle.
But those are not their names.
Those are their names.
So what is it?
It's Lucas's tradition that the name of the species isn't actually specified. So
okay,
his name is Yoda.
So what is
Yoda? But he's. We don't know what he.
We don't know what species
he's
he is.
A Green DeLorean.
Yeah, we knew that the baby was not Yoda because Yoda was already dead.
No, we did not know. The world doesn't know it's not Yoda. Baby Yoda is everywhere.
Right.
Well, that's just because they don't have a good name for him.
And if you type in the child,
the name of the baby wasn't Baby Yoda. No. The world thinks it's Baby Yoda.
Right. It's literally called the child.
We didn't know this. Originally, until after the first couple episodes, people made a timeline and put the Mandalorian show in the timeline.
And then
they realize it can't be Yoda because Yoda already died at this point.
But, I mean, Baby Yoda is like...
It's a thing. Right?
So we called it Baby Yoda because that's the only character we've...
Got it. So Yoda is Yoda's name, but that's not Yoda.
Correct.
Yes.
Got it.
This is another child. Same species, and his name is Paul Grogan, which I think is awesome. We know Paul is his first name. That's
what
I'm calling
him. Jokes. But that was really close.
What's his actual name?
Grogu.
Grogu. Yeah. Paul Grogu. So close.
Just Grogu. G-R-O-G-U, right?
I kind of
Why
feel like it's
say
the...
that started with a Y? Well.
No, it should have. That's what I'm saying. Yoda starts with a Y.
Oh.
There's
Yaddle
a female.
A y.
That was...
Yep. Ryan told me about the female.
The only two green force-wielding aliens...
Ryan's
pushing his glasses up. Tell us, Ryan.
In this episode, we had, like, maybe not just this episode. In The Mandalorian in general, we've had a few references now to the Knights of the Old Republic lore.
Mm-hmm.
and the games and such. In Knights of the Old Republic, there is a member of Yoda's species.
What?
His name is Vandar Toker or something like that, and he's a Jedi Master.
What?
And he talks completely normally.
What?
Wait.
Have you seen him?
Why am I just not hearing this?
Have we seen him?
We haven't seen him in The Mandalorian, but I'm just saying there's precedent that it doesn't have to be a Yaddle, Yada, Yoda.
You guys should have read Clone Wars. You would have known that.
No, we had to play the video game, apparently.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of references to it. So in this episode, they talk about going to
the Jedi Academy,
the ancient Jedi temple on Tython, and that is in the Old Republic.
Is that the one with the ice frozen over thing?
No, that's Ilium.
Ah, there's too many.
Something like that, yeah.
Is it the one where they... That's the same one where they get the crystals for their lightsabers?
No, I think that's Ilium.
Too many.
Wrong
too many of the same things.
Yeah. So, that was my point. Wait, it didn't have to be a Y name.
But have you seen this other character? Was he green?
He's like a greenish yellow with like poor polygon count.
This is an old school video game, yeah, I mean, not recent.
This is super old.
90s or early 2000s. Okay.
Let's not make us feel too old.
I think it came out after episode one, but like between 2 and 3 or something.
I've never heard of this before. I've heard of Yoda.
There's a bunch of lore, though, from the Old Republic because they had like a line of...
Is that where the robots were, too? The black dark troopers?
No.
Oh,
no. Man. Dark troopers were dark forces.
Striking out over their will.
I'm just going to keep throwing stuff out. So sooner or later, I'm going to hit one.
There was a line of novels in this Old Republic era, and they're referencing a bunch of stuff from it. So in this episode, we had an HK-87 droid, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we experienced an HK droid was in Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. HK-47, he's a fan favorite because he calls people meat bags and...
Nice.
He's just real sarcastic droid.
Mean robots.
And then Tython is where the ancient, where like the beginning of the Jedis were. The whole Mandalorians and Jedis are ancient enemies comes from a conflict during the Old Republic where there was this war the Jedi weren't supposed to get involved. And then the Mandalorians just wiped out this race of creatures called Cathar. It's random. But at that point, some Jedis joined in. And they basically wiped out the Mandalorians, and
that's why that's why
they like destroyed their planet or something.
Ooh, blew it up!
And that's why their planet is like radioactive, and there's only like habitats or whatever.
That's why there's this rift between Mandalorians and Jedi.
So that's what they're referring to is like our ancient enemies.
Yeah. Is it Anakin's fault? Oh, it's way
It's like 5,000 years or something before. So there's a lot of hints like that in the Mandalorian.
Well, we know that sarcastic robots are tight, so.
That's right.
I have to admit, I was pretty satisfied with Ahsoka. She looked pretty amazing.
How you say it?
I didn't think her tentacles were too bad. They were a little wrinkly.
Yeah. She's older now.
Is she? That's what I was thinking. I was like, are they using that as an excuse?
That was the first thing I noticed, was her tentacles have shrunk from Star Wars Rebels.
Which I'm okay with. I think smaller is better.
It doesn't make sense, though, because like Shaak-Ti is... younger than her or something in the prequels, and she has longer Leku or whatever they call them, and it was a practical concern, so she could actually do lightsaber
which I was
battles.
In favor of.
I totally get it. It was immediately like a that's
why
not
isn't that so yeah.
How do you say her name?
I think it's Ahsoka.
It's Ahsoka.
I mean that's
how they
on the
said
TV
it
show.
In the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is spelled a little weird. There's like
there's an H
in there.
There's an H in there.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. Her white sabers were pretty awesome. Is that a well-known fact that you can have a Mandalorian spear and it's not pierced by lightsabers? I was finally I guess
that's a Knights of the Old Republic thing. Okay. Is Beskar Republic repels?
I think they mentioned that earlier, even in season one.
I mean, I already complained previously about how he can just apparently be bulletproof and not get hurt by a laser blast. But I guess if you can take a lightsaber. And not get cut, then maybe you are virtually...
I mean, and they made a point of it because she sliced through that bell, the metal...
A single swipe.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It was cool, but they'd already sounded off the alarm. So what is that doing other than depriving the people of the village of their warning system once the new regime's in power? I was just like, that's not thinking
ahead. She's a jerk. That's how she usually rolled, though. Her and Anakin were always doing stuff that like seemed right to them but ruined people's lives. So maybe it's in character for her.
Yeah, it's the Jedi
she
way.
She is rogue, so, I mean, it fits her
So, Ryan, do you think this is the climax of the season, is this episode? Or do you feel...
It's one of the longest ones. And it was directed by Dave Filoni, who did Clone Wars and Rebels. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is going to be the high point. I'm hoping it just crescendos from here, because so much cool stuff happened. I mean, they hinted at Thrawn. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Thrawn in canon since Star Wars Rebels. Like, the very end of it, the characters from that kind of sacrifice themselves to warp... or whatever you call it, hyperspeed.
hyperspeed. Sci-fi
light speed?
Yeah, light speed. I'm sorry.
The guilt Ryan feels about. Is real.
Yeah. There's Ryan like feels these guilty weird right space now. Whales that grab his Star Destroyer and just hightail it in hyperspace to the middle of nowhere that we don't know where he goes. So the fact that he apparently exists, and he is somewhere, is new information for us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything special that I need to know about the Darksaber? Is it actually better than a normal lightsaber, or is it just dark? That's the only difference. Is it going to, like, cut her lightsabers in half? That's what I want to see happen.
I think it's just a thin, broad lightsaber. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it looks cool.
I agree. That's a great question. This seemed like a high point. I was actually nervous. Like, is this the season finale already? Can it go up from here? What can I expect? I obviously still want to see the Darksaber, Whitesaber battle, whenever that's coming. Is that that's got to be it, right?
I mean, I hope so.
Do we think Ahsoka will be in more episodes?
I don't know.
Gideon. Bo-Katan was only in that one,
yeah.
And she may not be in
she
anymore.
Come back.
I saw an interview with Rosario where she was referring to that image of George Lucas holding Grogu, Baby Yoda, whatever. And like that was a big thing last year during season one. And she said she was just off camera in her Ahsoka Tano gear when that image was being taken.
Wow.
So that gives me the impression that she's going to be back. But I don't know. I mean, if it's anything like season one, he meets a bunch of cool people,
right.
And then they all get back together for the end. So
yeah, I heard some people commenting on like this is so much a true like we're getting to experience the life of an NPC. Like he's just in the background running side missions, running into the actual heroes for one episode at a time. But then he's just got to be onto the next thing where he's just doing stuff in the background.
I did like in this episode the first season. He was supposedly the best in the parsec or something. You know, this episode, he got to show his chops again because he had the gunfight and fought some droids and stuff. Yeah,
that is true. I like the gunfight.
Proven himself.
So,
with the guy from Terminator, Michael Bean? I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't even know. Which guy is that?
In the very first Terminator, not John Connor, whatever his name
the
is.
The bad guy?
Kyle Reese is played by... Michael Bean or whatever, who's the enforcer for the magistrate.
Didn't recognize. That's cool.
Yeah. So he got work.
There is
well,
hope.
See,
the
he was in
galaxy.
Tombstone, and he has the gunfight duel with Doc Holliday.
Where
he's like, I'll be your Huckleberry. It's like, that's what I was thinking about.
The whole time. And then he bent over and he got
shot.
I
wanted Mandalorian to say that. I'll be your Huckleberry.
That's probably the outtakes.
Maybe.
So anyway, I was wondering, does anyone think that people are going to start calling Baby Yoda Grogu now?
No.
Still ever. Baby Yoda.
Nope. And I haven't even watched the episode. Nope.
We'll always be Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm. It'll take a while to transition.
I think until he says his own name.
Boys will be labeled as Grogu in the store. Yeah. Kids will still call him Baby Yoda.
I wanted to know where
we should be calling
him
the child,
right? What's the significance?
Still call him
there's got to be
all
something.
All I can figure is it's like
Groot
Luke Skywalker
from
is
Star Wars.
George Lucas, you know, Luke Lucas. So Grogu is George, maybe
backwards
with like a U.
Love it.